LNB's audio diary for the, I think it's the 26th of January, 2024. It's a Thursday anyway, that I'm sure of. And it's just about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I am on my way into town to do a little bit of shopping, and I want it to be a pretty straightforward and if possible quick process, because it is raining and snowing right now. Rainy, snowy crap. It's not supposed to accumulate, and I don't think it can possibly accumulate because it's been pretty warm the last week or so. So it's probably just, it's hitting the ground and melting, so I don't think that's an issue, but it's just, it's cold. Like, you know, you feel cold because it's a wet cold type of thing. Not fun, not enjoyable. But that's okay. That's okay. Should be pretty straightforward. I don't think the driving will be badly affected by this. So I guess I'm all right. I'm just gonna sit here and let cars go by. So let's see. I recorded for Eat It Zero, FIS episode season 6. Episode 10, or 610 as the parlance goes. And this is the final episode of the show. It's the last episode. However, it's going to be a long one. So far, Jack Kincaid has sent out 2 scripts, part 1, part 2. And he says there's probably going to be a part 3 that he's going to send to us. But he's not sure. At first he was sure. He's going to be like, yeah, it's just going to be one episode. We're, you know, one and done. We're done, right? But then he was like, well, I don't know. It's turning out to be long. Maybe we'll break it up into 2 episodes. Because he's done that before. He's done, like, you know, an episode, and it actually comes out as 2 separate, you know, the part 1 and part 2 type of thing. And you know what? He's got the freedom to do it because it's his show, you know? He doesn't feel beholden to any particular standards. Edict Zero is never going to get picked up by, you know, one of the big podcast services. It's never going to get picked up by Audible or anything like that. And he knows it. And that allows an incredible amount of freedom when you're not kind of tailoring your art to someone else's expectations or requirements. So, you know, he's going out the same way he's been working all along. This is going to be his vision, and we're all working towards a good conclusion. So far, it's really big, big scale science fiction. Big, big stuff. And I'm not going to give anything away. Not that very many people who listen to this listen to that, but that's okay. It is one hell of a show. I am so proud to be involved. And when it's finally done, at least for me, which might be, actually, it might be soon, very, very soon. My last recording on this might be in a week or so. Or at least the last bit of the script might be in a week or so. But anyway, I recorded part 1 today and sent it out. And I'll get to part 2 hopefully within a week. Sooner if I can. Though I'm glad I got the recording done, because now it's raining and I wouldn't be able to, because you can hear that on the mic. And, you know, because I record in the shed. So that would not have been good. I got it done. I recorded the whole thing, and as it was going, something felt off, and I was like, I think I might have messed up with the buttons, because I had to pause it a couple of times, because there was noise outside, pause the recording a couple of times, and, you know, I wasn't sure what was going on, so I brought it in. And I listened through the whole thing. I don't always do that. I just make sure that it recorded, you know, beginning and usually end, and make sure the whole thing recorded. Especially if I did it all in one shot. But I just had this feeling. I listened through the whole thing, and it's a good thing I did, because I missed a line. Not where I, it wasn't the problem where I thought it was, but I knew there was something wrong. So I did find it and I ran back out and recorded it. And by that time it had already started raining, but it was just sprinkling. And I brought it back in, put it where it belonged, and you know, got it in the formatting, you know, all the formatting and everything done, and I set it off to Jack Kincaid. We use a service called WeTransfer. I use it a lot now. I started using it with Jack because I used to throw everything up on my own site, on the Gopher site, actually where this is going to end up once it's in Speaks format. Which doesn't mean much to anybody listening, but a few people will get it. But there were a few problems here and there, and Jack finally said, you know, everybody else uses WeTransfer. And I was like, I'll use that if you prefer. I thought this was a little bit easier and a little bit, you know, whatever. But he preferred that. It makes it easier. It's streamlined. And that, I think, came pretty late in the whole process. But I've been using it now about a year, year and a half. And I've used it for other stuff, too. And it works really well. Free. So whatever. You know, large file up to 2 gigabytes you can send through WeTransfer, all for free. So, and I haven't had a problem with them. So, that's pretty good to me. And when you have such a crappy internet service as I do, it can make a big difference. It can make a huge difference to have something that's, you know, just reliable and can do the job. So anyway, I sent that off, and that's uploading right now. If there are any problems, it doesn't get sent, and it gives you a notification that there was a problem, and you can start over again. I've had that happen too, because again, of problems on my end, or on my service anyway. So yeah, that went through. I hope it's going through, but I mean, I recorded that. I do have the second script, and I'll get to that soon. It's all, it's really going to be quite an ending, I think. I'm not exactly sure. Obviously, I don't have script number 3 yet, so I don't know exactly how it ends, but it's, yeah, big scale stuff. That's all I'll say. It's big scale stuff. So, yeah, that was today. What else? I've been working on All He Surveys. I worked on that for about an hour this morning. It's a strange process. Sometimes. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes I go to work on it and I get distracted. Not away from the work, but from different aspects of the work. It's like, I'm going to work on this chapter, but then there's a reference to something and I got to go check it in a different chapter, an earlier chapter. And when I'm there, I see other stuff I start working on there, right? Or it makes me think of something else and I got to go look that up and blah, blah, blah. And I don't get the work done that I wanted to, but I do get work done. I get other work done that would have had to been done at some other point. But it doesn't feel quite as satisfying, quite as I don't know, quite, I don't feel like I've accomplished much when I have days like that. And I have days and days and days like that. Even though I am working on stuff, it's tiny incremental stuff that doesn't feel very, progressive in any way of the story. That happens. But today was not like that. Today was an immersive day. There are days where I get into the story, and while I'm working on it, I'm so deep into this tale that I'm not super aware of anything that's going on around me in the house. I mean, it's like a distant, like the house is far away. I mean, it's around. I can hear everything that's going on, but it's at a distance. What's more vivid and more real is this world. And today was one of those days. It's very satisfying. It's I feel like I'm really connected to the tale that way, and I feel like I'm really accomplishing things, even if I don't make it like, if I don't throw a lot of words down or I didn't get a lot of editing done from a volume standpoint, I feel like what I've done really works, you know, really matters. And today was one of those days. I was only in it for an hour, as I say, but I looked up and I thought I was gone from the house for, you know, much longer. Hours, plural. But it wasn't like that. It was, I got in there and the world just vanished. I don't know about other processes, other things that people do, either vocations or avocations or just tasks that have to be done. I understand there are different words that are sometimes used for a process when you get so into it that the world disappears. There are terms, you know, like newer terms like flow or I don't know. There are others I've heard that I can't recall right off the top of my head that where that becomes, you become very productive or you become very tuned in to the work you're doing and the rest of it just vanishes around you. I can't speak to any of that because I've never really felt it in any other, with anything else except for writing. It can happen to actors. On stage, I guess maybe it happened a couple of times on stage, but the problem with stage work, the real problem for me anyway with stage work is that I was never really all that tuned into it. You know, I can't quite reach my back to pat it, but I feel like I was a pretty good stage actor. People used to, you know, give me feedback that made me feel like I was doing my job the right way. But I didn't often feel that flow where everything was in tune. And it had a lot to do with the other actors and the other elements of, not just the actors, that singling them out is wrong, the other people involved in the show, in the production, you know, waiting for their cues, trying to understand what the characters, not what the characters, that was the problem. It was never trying to understand the characters, it was trying to understand the actors and what they were doing. Stage acting, or acting in general for me, is very technical. They call it teching when you're out there simulating the performance. That term, teching, that comes from method acting, right? Because when you're performing, I've talked about this in the past, but very briefly. If you follow method, which I don't, make that clear, okay? I don't follow method acting. I don't put a lot of faith into it. But there are many actors who do, right? And I'm not here to say one system or approach is more valid than another. I don't get into that debate. I can only tell you what works for me and what doesn't. And method acting is not my method, okay? I believe in simulation, right? You are pretending, you are fooling the audience into believing, and they're part of it. They're part and parcel to it, right? You're fooling them into believing you're this character and that this story is real. For a short period of time, if you've done your job right, they can buy into it and they can believe this world is real for a time. So that is my system, right? But if you follow method acting acknowledges that it's not the only way to do the job, right? It's the best way as far as method actors are concerned, but, and method acting, it's a long, look it up. If you don't know what it is, look it up. but method actors acknowledge that there are times when it isn't working, right? And it may not be your fault, right? But even if it is, there are times when it doesn't work. And you might be out there, you know, hanging by a thread, and the method isn't working for you. In those times, you use a system called teching, right? Or technical work, right? Now, that's how they see another style or approach to acting, right? And there are, as I say, there are different schools and different approaches. The two big ones are this technical approach and then the method approach, but there are others. There are others. But teching basically just means exactly what I said before. Simulating your emotions. Pretending to be this, you know, whatever you're supposed to be in the moment, right? And that's kind of looked down on, but understood to be necessary sometimes, right? It's kind of your backup tools, right? You get good at your tools and you can whip that out if you need it. If you're not feeling it, if you can't embody the emotion, if you can't pull true emotion out of yourself and present it on the stage, at the very least, if your skills are strong, you can pretend to. And that'll usually get you through, like, honest to God, it'll get you through 90% of most shows, right? There are some shows where if you're not really good at it, it doesn't work. I'm the first to admit that. But that's true of any kind of act. If your skills aren't strong enough, it's not gonna work for you. So anyway, those who follow a technical approach to acting consider that to be true acting, right? Those who follow method consider that to be true acting. It's just a different approach, all right? In the end, it's just a different approach, and one is no more valid and neither are invalid, right? Because there are inherent dangers and strengths of both approaches. And I've seen both approaches fail at different times, right? I've been party to some of it too. So in other words, I am not knocking one system over another, period, right? It's just my approach is technical. And my approach to voice acting is technical. Bringing it back to the subject, right? My voice to voice acting is technical. Well, it absolutely has to be when you're doing satellite recording, which is the term for recording on your own and sending it in, and then someone stitches it all together, right? Which is what we do here, right? The best way to do it, obviously, would be for everybody to be in the same room with everyone has their own mics or can share a mic in a way that isn't intrusive or, cumbersome. And, you know, that would be the best way to work, because then you're all together and you can play off of each other. I can only play off how I think the line is going to be read, right? Or might be read. So when I'm doing the lines, I will do 4, 5, 6 takes of the line, giving it, you know, different inflections depending upon how the line might be read in the moment by another actor who is recording in another location at another time, right? And these are actors that I've never met personally, right? And I've never actually acted with. My voice has just been matched up with them, right? So it's, you know, in a lot of ways, satellite recording is hard to defend from an acting standpoint, right? Except for the one reason why you would do it at all, and that's because if you don't do it, the thing's not going to get done, period, right? You don't have the wherewithal, you don't have the actors, you don't have the talent, you don't have the space, you don't have the time to get everybody together at one time and record it the way you would a stage show or something like that, right? Or record it like you would put on a stage show. That's what I mean. So the point here is just you do your best, right? And you try to give them as many different approaches to what you think might be fed to you. This becomes a very technical process, right? Because you're never in character. You're always thinking about how the lines might be fed to you and how you might respond to those. Other actors on this show may have a very different approaches, but for me, that's how it works, right? Because I don't know what they're going to say or how they're going to say. I mean, I know what the line's going to be, but I don't know how they're going to say it. You know, they might say something as a statement. They might say it as an interrogative. They might say something bombastically. They might whisper it. They might, you don't know, right? I have no idea how that line's going to be fed. So you have to give them, or, you know, Jack, in this case, because Jack's the one putting it all together, I have to give Jack a number of different readings, and he picks the closest one. But this is the last show, and I want it to be good. So rather than just give him a couple of readings, I told him, if someone is giving you a reading and what I'm giving you isn't working this time, let me know. I'll redo it. You know, tell me or give me the line that you've chosen, and I will give you something to match it. He's never done that, actually. He's never actually done that. What he has done on one or two occasions, it isn't often, is that he'll have changed a line. And he'll be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore. Instead, we're going to do this. And he'll give me a new line that will go in its place. That's happened once or twice. Not often. By the time I get the script, it's usually what he's going to be working with. It isn't necessarily what ends up in the show, but I don't necessarily get different versions from that point forward. But again, it's the last show, and I think all bets are off. So we'll see. I may end up doing this script again, or at least parts of it again. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting experience in the next, couple of weeks, I guess. 2-3 weeks, and I'll probably be done with Edict Zero. Now, Jack has, I think I mentioned it before, but Jack has reached out to everybody to say, I have no idea what I'm doing after Edict Zero. You know, I think he's got plans, but he doesn't have plans he can share just yet because they're still nebulous. But, he's basically saying, if I were to reach out to you again for, you know, you to play this character or another character, would you be interested? And I think everybody said, yeah, absolutely. So, who knows? I might do it again sometime. But I don't think it'll be soon. And it won't be this show. It'll be something else. So, yeah, Edict Zero. Boy. I've been on this show now, I don't know how long. I'd have to go back and look when my first, I think I have everything I've done so far. I might have lost some of this stuff. I don't know. I should probably look at what Jack's got. That'll be the most accurate timing-wise when stuff came out. Not understand that I might give my lines and then the show might not come out for months and months. You know, there have been times when, well, I've said this before. I mean, there have been times when Jack, you know, has taken more or less hiatuses, and it, because real life gets in the way and, you know, other stuff gets in the way. That's happened in the past. But by a hiatus, I mean, it might be a year that we haven't heard from him. And then, you know, we get a script. Usually he'll reach out and say, it's been a while. Sorry. Is everybody still interested? And they always come back. Everybody comes back for him. And, that could happen again with a future show, but in the case of Edict Zero, FIS, this is going to be it. And I'm not sure that... if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I could use the break from FIS myself. And I think everybody can. It's an amazing project. I mean, just incredible. But... I got a lot going on this year, and I kind of need to, sorry, I'm distracted. but here's some other knucklehead. All right, I guess I'm not doing that. I guess I'll go straight and then I'll turn. Just like, nope, not you. Sorry. Too many cars. Alrighty. Sorry, I'm at Wally World. I think basically all I'm really saying is that it's coming to an end, and I think it's the right time. Jack's life is going in a different direction. I have a busy year coming up. I have decided for the next couple of weeks anyway, my first priority will be Edict Zero, just to finish it off. You know, that's always been my thing too. When a script comes in, that becomes the priority because people are waiting on it. So that has always been the way I roll. But, yeah, coming up on it. When it's done, when I'm done, I think, even though I talked about it a lot today, I think I'm going to take one of these audio diaries just to talk about how I feel about it. And I think you probably already have, you know, an impression about how I feel about it. But there are subtleties, and there's more involved than just what I've talked about so far, and my perceptions of how things have gone, and you know what the other actors might be thinking. I don't know. I never talk with any of them, so there are only two actors on this show I've ever exchanged emails with. One is a friend of mine I haven't talked to in a while. That's Julie Hoverson. And the other is Tanya Maloyevich, and I just basically sent her a fan mail because I think she's amazing. And that was it. Otherwise, only ever spoken to Jack. And yet I've been on this show for a long time. Not from the beginning. Some of them have been here from the very beginning. But I don't feel like my contributions have been necessarily unimportant. They're not vital to the show, not necessarily, but I, you know, like today, much of what I do is descriptive of events, of things that are going on, and my character does a lot of, you know, oh no, this, you know, blah 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 is happening, what are we going to do, that sort of stuff, and blah 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 is action that's happening, right? And then other characters, especially this one character called Spoon then says, well, blah, blah, blah is happening because of A, B, and C. And to fix A, B, and C, we do X, Y, Z, right? So my character describes events that are occurring very often. This is just a generalization. Understand there are tons of exceptions. But my character will very often say, you know, blah, 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 you know, describe events that are occurring and then raise the problem, in other words, and Spoon or one of the other characters will describe the problem in detail, what is occurring and how it can be solved. And sometimes my character will help solve it after it's been defined by another character. I describe it, someone defines it, as well, and defines the solution, and then it happens. That's very common in the flow of dialogue for my character and in the scenes that my character appears in. And as a result, a lot of times I'm talking about stuff that's happening outside, that's occurring outside of the, you know, the character's dialogue with each other. And I feel like that's an important position to have, a character that has lines like that, because it helps move the story forward, telling you what the next problem is, what you're seeing, in other words. You know, in audio, that character helps define what you're seeing, you know, helps define the problems, you know, or I should say helps describe the problem. Describe. I don't define, I describe. Others define. and then we solve. And a lot of ways, that's the rhythm of the dialogue in Edict Zero. Mine, not everybody's, mine. It's just really been a pleasure and a challenge so far. So anyway, yeah. All right, I'm Al Wally World, and I guess that's it for today.